Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Yes, it is the most wonderful time of the year, and it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, as Rachel put up one of the decorations up, and we'll be all just ready to go. Thanks to the church family and folks who showed up to decorate this place on the last week at the Advent Festival. Wonderful time making this place look just like the season is, and beautiful, and get ready for us in spirit and also in joy getting ready for this season. So good to see you all. I welcome you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a visitor, please know that you're most welcome to our church family. You may visit us once again and again and again, any time you feel like this place is open for you. And for those who are here as members and friends of the church, this really is a wonderful time of the year, not because it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but because we are celebrating the birth and the risen Lord of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What more reason we could be celebrating this season? It is a wonderful time of the year because we are waiting for the second coming, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who lived, and who died, and who rose again. And he promised that he will come again. The Lord be with us at this season, and know that he will be with us through eternity. Now, also know that Christy has put out wonderful invitation cards for the Christmas Eve services. Please, if you know people who may not make any connection with Christmas or church and the whole entire of this, what it takes to have a saving relationship with Christ, this is a good way for outreach. If you could take the brochure that are available out in the fellowship hall on the table, take them home and send along these invitation cards with your postcards, that will be wonderful. So they are available out in the hallway. Please take one of these and send them out to your friends and family. Now, for our time together, Psalm 85 is chosen. So what we're going to do today is, if I may humbly ask you to stand, and we're going to read the psalm responsively. I hope that you read your Bible this week. If not, this is a good way to catch up. How about that? Would you please stand, and I will read the odd numbers of the verses, and would you please read the even numbers. So whenever I stop, you will read the even numbers, and I will begin with the odds again. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restore the fortunes of Jacob. You set aside all your wrath and turn from your fierce anger. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all your generations? Will you not revive us again? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land.
Love and faithfulness be together. Righteousness and peace is each other.
Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Preparing our hearts for Christmas and waiting for Christmas. Two little children spend a Thanksgiving weekend with their grandparents. And after hearing or talking much about the good celebrations of the season and the coming of Christmas, The two children were excited, and they couldn't wait for Christmas to come. And at nighttime came, and they went to their bedroom, and they prayed at night as their parents had taught them to do. And the younger child prayed out loud, really, really loud, shout out loud and say, "I want a new bicycle for Christmas. I want a new bicycle for Christmas." And the older sibling said, "Hey, why are you shouting? God is not deaf." And the younger child said, "But Grandma is." You may or may not have heard the stories, but thank you for your kindness in responding. But it is the time of the year where we wait with expectations. We hope to get something, to find something, to feel something. But this morning, particularly in our Advent season titled Waiting and Preparing Our Hearts for Christmas, peace, shalom. Not just peace of knowing that, well, things will be okay, the sun will be out, but peace for the soul, the heart, the mind, and the body, the whole entire being, the shalom, the wholeness of ourselves, that we can find peace in God. And that peace came to us at the very first Christmas, the Prince of Peace. How appropriate is to wait this season in peace, as you and I have seen the world and heard of this tragic news that just happened in San Bernardino in California, at the shooting, the tragic sense of loss and the acts of evil and what took place in the world. And we say, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, come now. Bring your peace here on earth as it is in heaven." This is the time we call out to God and pray to God, knowing that God is in control, that God, above all, knows what is happening to his people. He has not forgotten us. No, he has not left things undone. God is at work. He is still working among us, in our midst, in our community. Now, it's hard to feel that and to experience that when we go through life like this past week, or perhaps just recently in your own lives, at your homes, in your individual lives, at work, at school, and you know, God, this is the season of joy, the season to celebrate, but how come am I facing all these things in my life? Maybe you're asking this very questions where Prophet Simeon in Luke chapter 2 was asking, waiting for comfort and God's intervention for his life, for his people. Perhaps comfort from rejections, from fear, from loneliness, from depressions, from sickness, from confusions and chaos. What are you waiting for Christmas? What are you expecting? You see, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, Prophet Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of his entire nation, community, that they will no longer be the forgotten people, that God will no longer have forgotten them, and that they've been waiting for not 1 year, but 2 years, not but 2 years, 3 years, or 30 years, but for 400 years, 400 long years, they have been waiting for the consolation and the comfort for their nation, for the community. And finally, if you read Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to Simeon. And you know what Simeon said? "My eyes have seen the Lord. My eyes have seen salvation, the peace that he's been waiting for. Now he's ready to die. Now he's ready to meet the Lord." For all his life, waiting for this peace, the peace to come in his life, in his nation. Men and women, that peace is available to you. That consolation, if you're waiting for comfort, if you're waiting for consolation, Christ is that consolation. Christ is the answer. Wait for him. Prepare your hearts, as Simeon did in this particular season. And now another prophet or prophetess that I want to mention to you. These people will not end up in most of our Christmas cards, by the way. You will not see Simeon or prophetess Anna in Luke chapter 2. Anna was over 80 years old, and she had been married for 7 years. And then she became a widow, and she spent her whole entire life staying in church, never left the temple, day and night, fasting and praying. And some of the ladies can say, that's what I'm going to do starting this year. I'm kidding. You don't have to do. I'm not promoting that you don't leave the church. We do need to leave the church. We do need to minister people, other peoples, in God's name out there. But prophetess Anna was spending her time, her whole entire life, waiting and preparing her hearts, praying and fasting for the coming of this, not the Savior, not for our own consolation or the consolations for the people, but prophet Anna was waiting for the forgiveness and the redemption of her people, for herself, for her nation, her own community. Now, prophet Simeon was waiting for the consolation, the comfort for his people. But prophet Anna was waiting for the redemption and the forgiveness of herself and her people. Men and women, isn't it the gift of Christmas this season? Jesus, you know what Jesus means? Say it out loud if you know the meaning of Jesus is. Jesus means God, what? God saves. That's what it means. Jesus means God saves. God saves from what? God saves from all of our sins, all of our guilt, all of our captivity. We are no longer kept under the law of sins or slavery of sins. We are set free. Amen. Can we say hallelujah? Amen to that. You and I are set free now and forevermore, not because of our own goodness or own good works, but because of Christmas, but because of the cross, because of Jesus. God saves. That's what prophet Anna was waiting for. Waiting for the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And as we look at our text, Psalm 85, and some people say, well, Old Testament's Old Testament, and I just simply couldn't understand it. Read Psalms again and again, preparing your hearts for Christmas. You will see that the coming of this peace, the coming of this consolation, the coming of this forgiveness and redemption is not such a new idea. All of a sudden, it popped up 400 years later after the New Testament, Malachi was given or written last. This has been prophesied. This has been promised. This gift has been promised. In Psalm 85, beautifully so, written by a poet, a writer of psalm. The words, the writings, the tone, in each context and content, shows that the writer of this psalm understood what it means to be near God, what it means to receive this redemption and this restoration and this peace. What it means to have God near us, the Emmanuel, beautifully written. Now, I'm not a poet. I can't write this kind of beautiful letters. If I see a beautiful sun, a beautiful rainbow up in the sky, I will just say, whoa, there's a rainbow. That's my way of saying it's beautiful out there. You know? I'm not the, what do you call, the Williams Wordsworth. It's called, my heart leaps up when I behold a rainbow in the sky. By the way, that's the only line I know, so don't expect any more than that, right? This poet in our lives write beautiful words to help us understand the meaning of the beauty of nature, creation. But Psalm 85 precisely pinned down the beauty of our God and his gift. Will you be angry forever? Will you be angry with us forever? In verse 5, will you prolong your anger through all your generations? Verse 6, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? And it's go down to verse 7, show us your unfailing love, Lord. Grant us your salvation. And that's what the psalmist was longing for. In the midst of his life, all the challenges, all the confusion, all the loss, the pain, the suffering, all the captivity. He was crying out to God and say, Lord, will you be angry with us forever? Bring us your joys so that we may rejoice in you. Show us your unfailing love. Then verse 8, the psalmist make a pledge. It said, I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. God has already given us his assurance of peace, of salvation, his unfailing love. For us is to simply to listen, to obey, to trust. Verse 9 of chapter 85, Psalm 85, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. We need God's salvation. The world needs Jesus. The world needs the gift, the peace, the love, the joy that only Christ can provide. It's a cliche. It's a license plate, things that you will see in the back of the car. It said, know Christ, K-N-O-W. Know Christ, no peace. K-N-O-W, no peace. But N-O Christ, know Christ, no peace. Yes, we are the people of this nation community. We need to be peacemaker and peacekeeper of the world with God's help. But we know that the world will not rest in peace until we find our rest in Christ. Until our soul rests in Christ, we will be restless. The world will be in chaos. The world needs Jesus. We need Jesus. Our nation needs Christ. Then in verse 10, it said, love and faithfulness meet together. Love and faithfulness. To have a real reverence for God. To have a love for God. To be faithful in God. We may find the blessings, which is the nearness of God. Because God is love. God is faithful. In Christ, those two are made complete. God's love, God's faithfulness is made tangible. It's made available to you and I. With the Emmanuel, the fully man, the fully God, the flesh and blood coming to earth to be with us. And let Christ show his God's love and God's faithfulness. And not only that, here's the beauty of this word, righteousness. That greater presence of righteousness, God's righteousness, will show that we will clearer see the presence of God, which is peace. The presence of God basically will show for us the peace that we long for. Men and women, what are you looking for this Christmas? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for consolation, comfort, forgiveness, redemption? Are you waiting for peace, the shalom that only God can bring? Then wait, not just wait, but wait, prepare yourself and wait for the coming of the Lord. Through the reading of his word, through prayers, through the dedication of your life, the consecration and dedication of your life. Once again, rededicating your life, giving your life to Christ and saying, Lord, renew me, revive me, change me once again. Touch me with your spirit anew this season. When you invite Christ into your heart, friends, it is the promise that you will receive the peace that you've been longing for. When you have the Son, you got everything. When you have the Son, God's Son, you have everything. In conclusion, which many of you love to hear these words, right? in conclusions. Yes. Very honest man. There was a very wealthy man who loved collecting artworks and fill his living room with Van Gogh and Picasso, not Pistachio, all right? Picasso. Filling the room with all these incredible artworks and took pride in all his collections. Then one day the war broke out, World War took place, and he had to send his son to out to the war, serving in the war. And a few months later, he got the news that his son had died in the war. And one day, so heartbroken and sad and lost hope and joy in his life, not knowing what to do, living in his, just sitting in his living room, a young man in uniform showed up and said, "Sir, there is something I would like to give it to you." And he came and offered him a package which includes a drawing of the son of this wealthy man who had died. And this soldier said, "Sir, I'm not much of a painter, but I painted your son, and here it is." So he offered him. As he looked, this is no work of Van Gogh or Picasso, but the picture detailedly described, inscribed the face, the eyes of the son. So he removed all of this expensive and marvelous painting in his room and put the painting of his son. And in the next spring, he died. The old man died, and all of his property were auctioned off. And the auctioners start opening with saying, "Now, who would start the bidding with $100 for this painting of the son of the deceased?" And nobody would want to buy this painting of just a normal person. And people were arguing, "What's the point with this? It's just a picture of his son. Let's get on with the most important stuff, like the better stuff. Let's begin the auction. Let's forget this opening bid. Let's move on to the most important stuff." "No, no, no," said the auctioneer. "We have to sell this one." So after a while, people from the back are sitting in the corner wearing eyeglasses, and he raised his hand and say, "Well, let's just give $10 and let's get on with it. I'll give $10, that's all I have." And the auctioneer said, "Sold," to the gentleman sitting in the very corner at the back. "And now," he said, "the auction is over." And the people said, "What? We haven't begun yet. What do you mean it's over?" "No, no, no, you don't understand. It is over. Because the will of the father who died, that will said, whoever buy this painting of his son, get everything. Whoever got the son, got everything." Do you get that? Emmanuel. God came down. Jesus said, "Are you worried? Are you heavy laden? Do you need rest?" He said, "Come to me who are weary and burdened with heavy load and are living under captivity. Come to Jesus. Run if you must. Come to him. May you find rest and peace in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen."